We are looking at prayer and the idea of working with God through prayer. We want to look tonight at prayer-sent laborers. We mentioned this earlier, but Matthew 9, 37, 38, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." The labor supply available for the Lord's harvest here depends on the prayers of God's people. The Houghtons are asking us to pray for missionaries to Europe. And this is not an idle wish. This is something that actually can happen. When Jesus said these words, he was involved in one of his evangelistic campaigns traveling through Galilee, the northern third of the Holy Land. Verse 5, just a couple of verses before our text, Jesus went about all the cities and villages doing three things here: teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus was using teaching, instructing new things to people, preaching, which is admonishing people to live according to that truth, and then healing to reach the lost. So he reached out to the whole personality of the people, the mind, the body, and the very soul itself. We find that Jesus was grieved by the many in Galilee who were unreached. They were just beyond him. Ezekiel had seen him as the true shepherd of Israel. Let me take you through an extended quote here. Ezekiel 34, 11 to 16. "For thus saith the Lord God," you see the capital G-O-D, the Lord Jehovah, "Behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh," literally the Hebrew, "according to the seeking out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day," a day of judgment. "And I will bring them out from the people," the Gentiles, "and gather them from the countries," will bring them to their own land, "feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them," I say gathering them, feeding them in a good pasture, "and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment." So Jesus acknowledged that he was the shepherd in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That was his work, and that was the description of what Jehovah God was going to be doing. So in our text passage, praying to the Lord of the harvest, we find an arousing declaration: the harvest truly is plenteous. This is the thing that we want to keep in mind, that they're out there and they are a potential harvest. These are the unsaved, people who need to be saved, people that God's heart longs for, the people that he created to ask them into his eternal family. Jesus saw in the huge crowds an inviting harvest for God. Then we see the sad admission, "But the laborers are few." The scarcity of the laborers, especially in view of the vastness of the harvest, created an appalling situation. It disturbed and saddened the heart of Jesus. All across the nation, we're noticing, and it's one of the byproducts of Christianity not being popular, and that is that the number of preacher boys, we call them, people that are training for the ministry, way, way down. When I was attending Bob Jones University, there were hundreds. We gathered for picture, and they took our picture, you know, arranged us in some sort of outline thing on the land, and took a picture. Now, not nearly that. So with the arousing declaration that harvest is plentiful, the sad admission, but the laborers are few, here is his answer to it, the call for intercession. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, and he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We see in this call for intercession what I'm urging upon you tonight. A, the inducement for prayer, therefore. It's this appalling lack of laborers to accomplish the work. This is something that should shock us. It occurred to me at some point about this passage that, you know, my sons, I think my daughters also got into this working in detasseling corn, working in the field, summer job thing. It's kind of dangerous. They had to wear these thick gloves and cut themselves up with those sharp leaves, I guess. The thing is, if you're in the mindset of a laborer in the field, I got gas early this morning, and a man was coming by, and he had a bucket, and he was filling up the window washer buckets. He said, "How are you doing?" I said, "I'm fine. How are you doing?" He says, "Putting in my hours so I can get home." Well, you know, he wasn't excited about his job. I don't know that we have to be excited about our job. It's just that we need to recognize that this is one of the ways we serve God. And in this case, working in the field, we could just keep going, keep our head down, do the work, take another step, do some more. Harvest the grain, pluck the potatoes, whatever we're doing. You see, we could just keep doing it. But he's asking us to do something else here. He's asking us to look at how much there is to do for the Lord of the harvest and how few there are doing it. He wants us to adopt the attitude of the owner of the field. He wants us to see the bigger picture. He wants us to see souls in danger. He wants us to feel the breaking of the heart of the God who says, "But they're lost." See? Therefore pray. Secondly, the primacy of prayer. In this passage, at least, this was Christ's only answer to the problem. Training for service will come later, but first is prayer. This is what burdens the laborers to enter the field. Next, the direction of prayer. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Is Christ the Son speaking? Talking about God the Father. We ask that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I left will out of there, didn't I? Ask that his will be done. So we talk to the owner of it all. We're saying we really need some help here to get this thing done. Then the particular request of prayer that he will send forth laborers. Send forth is Strong's 1544, ekbalo, This means to throw out. This is the word that is used when Christ throws those at the great white throne judgment into the lake of fire. But here he says, throw them out into the field. See, pray that God will throw them out into the field. The emphasis is to thrust them out. Broadus, commenting on this, says the word always implies urgency and haste. Many missionaries writing to us tell of the lukewarm Christian lives that were interrupted by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And they said, we need to uproot our lives and go to the field. Brian Meese, pastor at a church in Franklin now, my nephew Tom Moore is working with him now, and he said, he gave a testimony today at the school, he said he and his wife were on their way to Thailand to be missionaries and working to get that done. Then God changed their mind. His wife came down with a series of debilitating allergies, and they said, well, we'll need to stay here where the help can be given. And they live in Franklin, so they just decided to do that. But, you know, there's this burden to get things done. You always ask yourself, how are these people that seem normal in every other way decided to go to China, go to Taiwan, go to these places, just uproot themselves and put themselves literally in harm's way and in difficult path? It is the work of the Holy Spirit. The next is the duty of prayer. He says, pray ye. This is a command. His command then becomes our obligation. The question to you is, do you take this command, this obligation, seriously? Or is it just, well, it's just one of those things he tells us to do. And then again, the urgency of prayer. Pray ye is in the aorist tense. That's often a past tense, but in a command form, it means that it is a special urgency. It's the immediacy of it. Setting forth a duty that must be obeyed at once. And when you are there working in the field, where you actually are not just working along with people who are working in the field, but you are actually working in the field, where your heart is broken for the lost, and you gain this sense of how much the Lord of the harvest is losing because we need more laborers, then you sense the urge to pray, and you do whatever you must to pray immediately. Set aside the things that distract us, the things that we do for relaxation. Set them aside and spend the time in prayer, asking, begging God for more laborers. Watchman Nee said, if you do not pray, you will feel suffocated within, as if there is something left undone. In the event you still do not pray, you will feel even more weighed down. Finally, if you do not pray at all, the spirit of prayer, as well as the burden of prayer, will be so dulled that it will be difficult for you to regain such feeling and to pray the prayer according to God's will afterwards. We don't want to dull our sensitivity to these things, do we? This is where it would be wonderful if God is setting you to prayer that you'd notice that there would be a burden on your heart, that you would cry out in the night for God. And then finally, gee, the privilege of prayer. Consider the privilege of being included in the great work of God's harvest. Only God would recognize what has been accomplished by your prayers on the world mission field. If you cannot go, you can pray. You can pray people into the field. God invites you to participate in the great work of spiritual harvest. Adopt the attitude of the owner. See the sadness of the lost harvest. Get involved. So what do? Let us confess our lack of obedience, our lack of dedication. Let us forsake our laziness and the hardness of our hearts toward the unreached millions. Let us cry out in urgency to the Lord of the harvest for laborers. We cry out when we're in pain. We cry out when we're in need. And we have to adopt the need of God before we're ready to cry out. Comments, questions? Let me ask this. Have you found that situation where you felt that you really needed to pray for someone, perhaps a missionary, perhaps a friend, just that sense of urgency came upon you? Somebody came upon your heart and you needed to pray for them. That happened to anybody? It's happened to me just a couple of times. And I hope it happens again. I hope that I've not dulled the senses, you know. But let's remember this is a great God's great purpose.